Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of water and word, we have been washed clean by your blood. We have been made new and whole and restored and justified, and our sins are forgiven. Today, may that truth take root in our hearts even more, so that we may rejoice in loving you and loving each other. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I guess I don't have to tell you this, and it's not really a brilliant statement, to be honest with you, but the world we live in is a very hard world to live in. Our women's Bible study on Wednesdays, we're studying the book of James. And one of the things that we're studying right now is at the very beginning of James, he talks about the fact that you're going to have trials in this world. It's just not going to be an easy world. And he calls us to face those trials with joy and with thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but the first thing that goes through my mind when I'm going through a trial or a temptation or a tribulation is, thank you, Jesus. Bring on more. It's usually, what in the world are you thinking about? And trying to figure it out myself. That's just how it is. But the reality is, we live in a world where we're going to have trouble. We live in a world where Jesus himself says, you will have trouble. It really boggles my mind, especially this prosperity gospel that we see going around today in modern evangelical circles that teaches people, if you love Jesus enough and if you have a strong enough faith, your life will be good and perfect and everything will go great. It totally denies the word of Jesus and makes him out to be a liar. Because Jesus himself says, when you live in this world, you're gonna have trouble. That's the reality of it. That is the world we live in. In this world, we will have troubles. In this world, we will not have peace when we look out there. There is no peace to be found out there. The only peace that we will have in this world as we look inward at the word of Jesus Christ himself who gives us peace. The only peace we have as we look inside ourselves and remember who we are as children of God. The only peace that we will find is as we love each other in fellowship as a community. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, Christianity exists only in community. And his point behind that is as we live together as a family in Christ, that's where we will find peace and joy and comfort in bearing each other's burdens and loads. In this world, we have a target on our backs. I hate to tell you this, but the day you came to faith, there was a huge target placed on your back, and that target is there, and that is what Satan is attacking. He doesn't have to attack the unbeliever. He already has the unbeliever in his grasp. But for you and me as believers in Jesus, he attacks. In this world, we will all fall short of God's glory, and we will sin. You will do it, I will do it. We are sinners. None of us are different than anybody else. I chuckle today when I hear people that don't go to church say, well, I don't want to go to church because church is full of hypocrites. Exactly. You're right. It sure is. We're all sinners. And that's the best place to be, isn't it? Because we're all sinners and fall short of God's glory. In this world, we will fear death. We will. Now, some of us may not fear death in the self of dying. Some of us may not fear death, but we fear how we will die, or we feel what will happen when we die, and those things happen to us. And all of these troubles that come into our life, and there's whole bunches more of them, right? There's health issues and financial problems and marriage issues and child issues, and you know, some of us think, oh, once our children are raised out of our house, those issues stop, and then they get to be 30 or 40 or 50, and they still have problems, and we're like, good grief, is this ever going to end, right? And it goes on and on and on. All of these troubles come roaring into our lives because we will have troubles in this world. But in this world, we are called daily to live out our baptisms. And this is crucial. This is crucial, as St. John talked about, because living out our baptism points us to the only thing that truly will bring us peace, comfort, steadiness, happiness, and hope in this world, and that is Jesus Christ. We are called daily to live out our baptism, and we live that baptism out as we rejoice in the forgiveness Jesus has won for us, as we celebrate the fact that the kingdom of God belongs to us, as we joyfully love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and as we joyfully love our neighbor as ourselves, meaning that we put our own wants and desires and selfishness, all of that behind us for the good of each other. That's daily living out our baptism and celebrating this grace of God. Daily, our baptism is renewed in our life as Jesus speaks to us. Every time we open the Word, every time you do your devotion, and I hope that's every day, the power of the Holy Spirit is bringing the Word Jesus to you. And you know that the Word is true, right? And what does the Word say in John chapter 1? Who is the Word? Jesus is the Word. He is the living divine Word who lives in us. And every time we encounter the Word of God, we encounter Jesus who comes to us and restores us, who comes to us and forgives us, who comes to us renewing and strengthening us in the grace that was poured out in our baptism. Daily, baptism is renewed in the confession of our faith. Martin Luther, in his daily devotions, always said the first thing to do is make the sign on the cross of the cross when you wake up in the morning and say the Apostles' Creed. Now, why would he say that? What creed was used at your baptism? What creed? I just gave you the answer, right? The Apostles' Creed. Good job, good job. The Apostles' Creed, right? It was used at your baptism. When we say that creed, we're not only confessing what we believe, but we're reinstating our faith and reaffirming the baptism into Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, with the very same words that were either confessed on our behalf or we confessed that day when we were baptized. Daily, baptism is renewed when we take the Lord's Supper. Now, the Lord's Supper is separate than baptism. They're two separate sacraments. But as we take the Lord's Supper, the baptismal grace of God, that forgiveness, being made a child of God, the renewal, the strength, the life, the hope, the abundance of grace is continued to be poured out into our lives. So when we take communion, we are remembering our baptism. Daily, baptism is renewed as we look in the mirror. This is something that I try to do every day, and I hope that you will do this too. One of the greatest things that I learned in my life of healing and going through counseling and all these things is words of affirmation, you know, because you got to affirm yourself, because if you can't affirm yourself, you won't accept other people's affirmation. It's healthy for us, right? One of the best words of affirmation you can do as a Christian is to look in the mirror every day and point to yourself and say, I'm a child of God. And you can see yourself visibly looking at your face, looking at your smile and your eyes and your body, knowing that your whole self has been redeemed, has been saved, has been forgiven, has been cleansed, has died with Christ and risen with Christ. And now you are filled with hope because you are a child of God. And nothing in all creation will ever separate you from being a child of God. St. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, neither height nor depth, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, not even life or death itself will ever separate us from the love of God that is poured out, lavished upon us in the wonderful waters of baptism. Today, St. John says about baptism, it points out that when we are baptized, we receive the Holy Spirit, the blood of Christ, and life-giving water. The blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ testifies to our justification and forgiveness. When we receive the blood of Christ in baptism, we are receiving with it that great, great gift of justification and forgiveness. Justification, being made right, being declared not guilty. Justification, being declared not guilty and being made perfect in the eyes of God. Luther calls it the joyful exchange, that in our baptism, this joyful exchange happens. When Christ died on the cross, he took on our sinfulness and became sin for us so that we might become the perfect righteousness of God. So that when God sees us as perfect because he sees Jesus. This is the reality of faith. This is the reality of what we live in. Sin and trouble and hardship and trial and tribulation comes into our minds and it tries to pull us away from the truth that we are God's child. It tries to drag us away from the truth that we are loved immensely, immeasurably, and unconditionally. That we are loved by a God so much that our minds can't comprehend it on its own at all. We are loved by God. We are justified in the death of Jesus Christ by his blood, which washes away our sins and makes us white as snow in the eyes of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Saint, in Psalm 103, it says, our sins in Christ have been removed as far as the east is from the west. And in baptism, we receive this blood of Christ. In baptism, the blood of Christ washes away our sins so that we can stand in front of God with confidence, not our confidence, with hope, not our hope, and with peace, not our peace, but that which comes from Jesus Christ, who is our confidence, hope, and peace, in knowing that we are saved and that heaven is our home. And that no matter what this world may throw our way, we have something so much greater in store for us that we can march through hell and back, knowing that the kingdom of heaven is ours. The water of Christ's own baptism proclaims he alone has come from the Father as our Savior. Jesus didn't have to be baptized, but he did. And in that baptism, it declared the wonderful work that, you know what? He is the Savior. He is the one. It testifies to the fact that he is the one who came for us. And he instituted baptism for us, showing us that we too need to be baptized. In fact, Luther says baptism is so important that for somebody who comes to faith, if you refuse to be baptized, you refuse the faith. That's how important baptism is in our lives, where our sins are washed away and where we are made new. The other great thing that happened at Jesus' baptism, do you remember the voice that came from heaven? Do you remember what it said? This is my son. This is my beloved son, right? In whom I am well pleased. What happens at your baptism? What does God say? All of heaven is rejoicing. At your baptism, there's a banner with your name on it in heaven and a huge party rejoicing that you have entered the family of God, and God looks down upon you and says, this is my son, this is my daughter whom I love, and I am well pleased with him. I am well pleased with her. The very same thing happens at our baptism as God claims us to be his children. Do you get that? Do you understand the power of that? Because I don't think a lot of Christians do. The power that comes in being the children of God, the fact that we are heirs to his kingdom, that his kingdom belongs to you, that his kingdom belongs to me, and that we can live now in God's kingdom, but we experience it more fully the day that we die and enter into that kingdom eternally to be with Jesus forever. Jesus, by the power of his resurrection and coming ascension, sends us the promised Holy Spirit that also testifies to his salvation and brings all the blessings of God's grace into our life. Present also in baptism, of course, is the work of the great and wonderful Holy Spirit. And in a few weeks, we're going to celebrate Pentecost and the coming of that Holy Spirit. And we know without that Holy Spirit, we would be lost. Because it is Jesus who sends in the baptismal waters of his grace, the power of the Holy Spirit that comes into our life and renews us. It is the most amazing thing in all the world. And so many churches today don't get it. They don't know what baptism is. They don't understand the regeneration. They don't understand how it saves. They mark it as a testimony of belief. How blessed we are to understand this sacrament. Maybe not understand it, but have faith in it. That in this wonderful gift of baptism, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and literally takes our heart and renews it, regenerates it, fills it with life, and fills it with the very faith that we need for salvation, and continues on a daily basis, every day of our lives, by his power to keep us firmly fixed in the word and salvation and forgiveness and life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is what the Holy Spirit does. And Jesus said, unless I go, he won't come to you. But I must go so that he will come to you. And when he comes to you, he will lead you into all truth and all knowledge and salvation. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for you. It is the seal of God's promise in your life, knowing that in baptism, not only have you been sealed with water and the blood, but the Holy Spirit. And God, the Holy Spirit, promises he's never going to let you go. He is the one who works with you every day of your lives to pour out that love, that confidence, that hope, that joy, and rejoicing in the midst of all the trials, the tribulations, and everything this world puts into our path. And that is the gift of baptism, the wonderful gift that is yours. The gift I hope you rejoice in every day. As Stephanie says, when you take a shower, feel the water falling down upon you and rejoice that you have been washed clean in Jesus Christ and stand forgiven and justified in the sight of God. when you wash your hands, think about the fact that all your sins have been washed away. Not only your present sins, but your past sins, and also, guess what? Your future sins. Isn't that pretty awesome to think about? All of your sins, past, present, and future, they're gone in Jesus Christ. When you remember your baptism by making the sign of the cross on your forehead, upon your heart, or making the sign of the cross any way you want to, as Luther says, remember, you are covered in the blood of Jesus. You are covered in his death and resurrection. You are covered in the promise of salvation that will not let you go. And when you encounter the hardships of life, when you encounter the troubles and the trials and the tribulations and the struggles, it's in that very moment where we fall to our knees and we say to God, thank you for making me your child. I rejoice in your salvation because you are with me now and you are with me always, no matter what I may go through. You see, in this world, we will have trouble, but daily as we are pointed to our baptism, we realize more and more through growth and maturity that we have overcome this world. We have overcome this world, and we have a hope that is beyond all hope, that the kingdom of heaven is already ours in Christ Jesus our Savior. Brothers and sisters, faith calls us to hope. And hope says this: whatever happens to us in this world is just a blip on the radar screen of eternity. Whatever happens to us in this world, we will overcome and grow stronger because of Jesus and his Spirit. And whatever happens to us in this world, Christ is our Savior and has crushed the head of Satan. Victory over sin, death, and the devil belongs to you today and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.